the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone, the best kept secret in conspiracy. You guys don't know how marginalized we really are. I mean, every time I put a YouTube video up that has any media content in it, it's banned worldwide. Currently, I'm blocked from Facebook again. We're trying to find our way out into this media stream, and it's been a difficult road, and we're having to go along all the different stumbling blocks to get out there. But you can help. It's very simple. You see that little Stitcher link there on the right side of FreemanTV.com? Go ahead and click it. Click it now. Don't worry. It'll open in a new window. And give us a rating there on Stitcher, or just leave a comment to say what you think of the show. And this will help push us to the front page of the aggregator so that we can get more and more people listening. Because if no one's listening, there's not much point. And we're really trying to get out to the world with exclusive information. You know, this is the place where the Twin Tower architect admitted the Bin Ladens asked him where to put the demolition charges. And this is where the high priest of the Church of Satan described his device to open a portal for the old ones to enter. You get all exclusive information here on The Free Zone and on FreemanTV.com. And one of the greatest exclusive researchers that we have right here in studio of the Free Zone is Jamie Hanshaw. She is author of Weird Stuff, Operation Culture Creation, Parts 1 and 2, with Hollywood Mind Control on the way, and Part 3 coming even very soon as well. You can find everything about Weird Stuff right there on FreemanTV.com. Jamie is laying out what is necessary for you to understand in this mainstream media culture. You do not know this, but mainstream media culture is your biggest enemy. You may try to avoid it, you may try to ignore it, but it is coming up your door. And Jamie is going to lay down some foundations here in this understanding of mind control through media manipulation that we've never heard before. I know I'm ready. So Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody. Today I have a show called The Girly Show, and this one is for all my classy ladies. So the reason I called it The Girly Show, and I hope you get my double entendre there, is because today we'll be talking all about women, and you can't do that without talking about sexuality, because it's all wrapped up in women's issues today. So without further ado, the first story of the night is a clip I saw of Miley Cyrus in concert. And so here she's at an Adult Swim concert, topless with pasties and giant butterfly wings.
Right.
She sings a cover of another girl named Kia, and the lyrics say, "My neck, my back, lick my..." See, I can't even say it. I'm already blushing, so yeah, I don't know.
In French, you might say pousse. But she does. She says this over and over and over again. Right. Lick my, lick my, lick my.
I don't know how we're going to get to 50 Shades of Grey, but I'm already embarrassed about this.
All right. So.
But she says, lick my, yeah, and
all
my...
All dressed as a monarch.
And my crack. And at one point, she gets a little angry and tells everyone to put their cell phones away and says, "Do you know how many times a day I turn on the radio and some man is telling me to suck his dick?" So this guy, she's...
That is a strange world you live in.
Right. And so this is the equality. So this brings me to feminism.
But
right?
Wait, what did that have to do with her putting away her phones?
Well, she's mad that everybody is on Instagram and not in the moment.
Yeah.
Right. And then she gets even more irate about gender inequality and saying that every song that a man puts out is saying suck his dick, so she can say this as well.
I see. Right? All right.
Okay. So this kind of brings me to the definition of feminism. And when I looked it up, all it says was the belief that women should be treated equal to men. Cool, right?
Okay. Well.
But equal to what?
Yeah.
Right? And we did a lot of shows last year about Beyonce and... the sexual magic of the OTO, bringing down the barriers of men and making the women's morality equal to men's in public eyes, and manipulating the vibration of the planet, basically, through sexual energy, right?
Right.
And so, without all this fancy talk, the first thought I had watching this video as a normal person, you know, after the whole Monarch Mannequin thing, what would a normal person think of this video? Is this appropriate for mainstream culture, right? And so, purely on the surface, to me, this is the epitome of low-class behavior. And before any other divisions that we should be worried about right now, I think the most important one is the class war, and that's going to be next after, you know, the race war, the religion war is going to be class war, because everyone's going to need to wake up and figure out that 80 people own half of the wealth on the entire planet. And so in this video, this is very low vibration art, quote unquote, if you even want to call it that.
Right.
And you don't have to live in a trailer to be trashy. And we're seeing more and more that these high class people are the epitome of trash, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about.
So here's an interesting dichotomy of a wealthy girl acting low class. And her performance at the Teen Choice Awards, where she came from the Airstream to the stripper pole, was a script for young girls to follow. And also, you can find this story in the opening credits of Anna Nicole's reality show, where she comes from the trailer, gets on the stripper pole, marries the billionaire, and
becomes a celebrity.
Yeah, becomes, right. She doesn't live happily ever after. She just gets famous, right? There's
right.
no living
there
happily.
There was no happy ending to, to Anna Nicole.
So one of the first, like, high-class hooker types in this class dichotomy was Paris Hilton, who was wealthy, but she only became famous after her leaked sex tape.
Right.
And then another example of this is Kim Kardashian. So, right. So here we have a world where 80 people are as rich as half the world, and the class wars are about to begin. And if they can't get their robotic police force running fast enough,
class war ensues.
Right. So to round out Miley's image, she has recently started a charity for homeless teens, right? Especially the LGBTQ teens.
So homeless homosexuals is Miley's charity.
Right. And if you don't know by now, most charities are BS. Right?
I would say so.
Right. Rich people collecting gobs of money for the poor and not giving to them. So the story of this week, to prove my point, would be how the Red Cross raised about $488 million for the disaster in Haiti, and they only built 6 homes with it.
That does not compute.
No. It's not supposed to compute, and it's supposed to make you angry, and it's supposed to prove to you that charities are BS, but no one is seeming to catch on to this.
Right.
But, you know, so these wealthy people give to charity without asking why people are in need, and failing to realizing why they play a role in the scarcity. So.
Right.
You know, rich people doing charity is like Pepsi-sponsored weight loss. You know, right? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. And you know who does take care of poor people?
Poor people.
Other poor people, right? Yeah. Look these up on YouTube. You know, you can find a man who they've given $100 to, and they follow him and to see where he goes with it. And he goes to the liquor store, and they're like, oh, I knew he was going to buy booze. But he comes out with bags of groceries to feed all the other homeless people at the park.
That's right.
And then they have this one where they give this guy 2 hamburgers and then send another guy and ask him for 1 hamburger. And the guy says, sure, here you go, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the giving freely, because you don't have enough anyways to save, so you might as well share what you have.
Absolutely. Friendship is your currency.
Right. And people are good. And so, you know, it's not, they're not bums because they're bad people.
That's right.
Right?
Right. Yeah. They're certainly not losers.
But so where do these rich people come from? Where do they get their ideas and their paradigm? And this all goes back to princess programming. And here's a story that will make you want to puke. Okay. a dad from Virginia has claimed land between Egypt and Sudan for his daughter so she could be a true Disney princess. And now, he didn't buy it. He did the old-fashioned way. He found a spot that was, like, quote-unquote, terra nullis, which means belonging to no one. And all he needed was permission from the Egyptian government to travel past the tourist area. And he needed GPS to find the location and a flag. And that's it.
Wow.
And he claimed it. So they made a flag in their backyard. And it has, of course, it has a crown on it symbolizing dad and then a star symbolizing mom and three stars symbolizing the three children.
Hmm.
But now we have a true Disney princess. And I guess Disney is actually trying to make a movie about this story.
Oh, of course.
Right.
Crazy. And so I imagine they're going to build a palace.
Oh, I don't know what they're going to do with it. But I just thought that was so interesting that you can actually still go claim land with flag.
Yeah.
And that's how they did it for millennia. And they're still doing it in the name of Disney Co. So that is just really crazy.
All right.
But, so what's so wrong with calling your daughter a princess? To most parents, it simply means that you love them and that she's the most important little girl in the world to you, right? And that's pretty sweet. But there's just a couple problems with that, because princesses actually do exist, and they belong to this thing called the royal family, which is pretty much the most despicable, murderous, trifling, awful, evil people you could ever hope not to meet in your life, right?
Yeah.
And even if you could call them quote-unquote humans, which I don't think they are anymore, but these are the worst humans that have ever existed. Period.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, royalty. Oh, my God.
And people worship them.
Right.
And ad people worship them, and this has been going on since the beginning of civilization. And you can get caught up all in the spell of their maze, which... I have a really great story about the origin of the royal relics coming in Weird Stuff Part 2.5, Hollywood Mind Control. But let's just start with the British royal family as people, quote-unquote people, right? So I watched this documentary called Royal Babylon, Crimes of the British Monarchy. And I recommend this one because it just outlines just how terrible... they are to the population and the planet. And they'll start with Prince Philip, okay? So he is the queen's husband, and he has hunted and killed literally millions of animals. Like, on the books record, total millions of animals. And some of which were extremely rare. So that just proves you right there, they don't give a crap about wildlife. And actually, he was the first... president of the World Wildlife Fund.
Isn't that always the way?
Right? Yeah. Another BS charity that doesn't give a crap about animals.
Right.
And so Prince Philip actually says that he would love to be reincarnated as a deadly virus to cull humanity.
Right.
Right? And he's almost there, in my opinion. No, he's just as bad as a virus to me.
Right. He's killed millions.
Right.
Millions. And then people, too, not just all the animals.
Right. We're just starting with animals, but right. The crimes of the royal families is just staggering. But, so, it really made Princess Di sad that her boys took to hunting with their grandfather so well, and she even commented that she didn't raise them to be killers, but he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they have them out killing at 6 years old, right?
Well, now the boys are publicly in the royal military, and where you can go see footage of Prince Henry remote bombing villages in Afghanistan and then going out nightclubbing on the same night.
Right. Boasting about it.
Right. Boasting about his kills.
Yeah.
So, Princess Diana is a really good example of the end of the princess program. And she was real, okay? And she called herself the Prisoner of Wales, the POW, the Prisoner of Wales. So she was not living a fairy tale.
Right.
And she was tortured by the queen. Queen made her watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang to traumatize her, right? From even when she was a little child. So they're setting up these people to become matches later on in life and traumatizing them.
If you guys haven't seen it, watch it again, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and you'll understand why this was a threat to her. And then realize that this was Ian Fleming's first movie, the guy that brought you 007.
Right. And so after Princess Di produced an heir in Prince William... in her own handwriting, she said that Prince Charles was planning a car accident for her.
Right.
Right? And why wouldn't he? Because isn't it established history that Henry VIII executed some of his wives so that he could remarry?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one facet of what happened with Princess Charles, because he wanted to marry that other lady who he said he wanted to be her tampon.
Right.
Just crazy.
Oh, my God.
So, and the royal family has a huge hidden history of mental illness. And not just things that you can hide behind money, but, like, real crazy, crazy people in the right. family. Right? So, you got Prince Otto of Bavaria and his brother Ludwig. They would shoot a peasant every day for fun.
Just to stay calm, right. I think it was. Yeah.
Well, I guess it was the only thing they had to look forward to.
Yeah. Right, you know? Yeah.
But then you've got King Henry Christoph of Haiti. And these are just some examples that I pulled out of the whole mishmash of craziness. Of
what was the name of that documentary? Royal Babylon.
Royal Babylon, yeah. So then you got King Henry Christoph of Haiti, who would march his own guards off cliffs to prove their loyalty.
Wait.
Okay, and the non-loyal ones were executed. So. Oh,
he's out of an army quick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is, yeah.
So here's my favorite. Queen Joanna of Spain took her husband's corpse with her everywhere, including meals.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ew.
So this is the stock and breed of people that you are mimicking and naming your children to be like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or even Queen Mary, right? Bathing in blood. I mean, and that was, she wasn't the only one.
No. Elizabeth Bathory also was a famous royal vampire type who preferred virgin's blood and things like that.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of examples about how awful these people are.
Right.
Not people. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They're not even.
Yeah. Royalty.
Yes.
Right?
So, I mean, the royal family is incredibly racist, okay? Every continent these people set foot on, millions of indigenous people die and are maimed and enslaved, and starting with their very nearest neighbor, Ireland.
Right.
Who, that's where they began to systematically remove all the forms of native magic and religion, starting with the religion of Ireland.
The Celts.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is the person, this is the Queen of England who owns 1/6 of the land on Earth from colonization. And as you watch these people and as you watch these shows, and you can learn a lot from even an HBO drama like Game of Thrones or the one we watched about the Pope. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, but no. I don't remember the name.
But, so the point is, in this whole Game of Thrones, no one is having fun. Everyone is running for their lives. Everyone is deceiving everyone else. Everyone is trying to sleep with someone else because they hate their spouse, because it was an arranged marriage anyways, because it was based on politics and wealth grabbing and all of this other crazy stuff. And so, not even at the very top, even the king can't sleep at night because he might get murdered in his sleep, right? So what is this to aspire to?
Right. And what Robert Anton Wilson would call a snafu.
So, if we're so different from these people, why are we breeding our children to emulate them as a success? Especially if you're an American.
Right.
Right? And what is a princess? So,
She doesn't earn it.
No. I have an entire chapter dedicated to this very topic in Weird Stuff 2 called Project Crazy Bitch.
Mm.
And that's really the end of the princess programming in America, because no one is ever going to actually become a princess. You have to be one by birth, right?
Right.
But in real life, a princess is nothing more than a political pawn of her family and a high-class broodmare.
Right, right, right. I mean, they would pass them off to other kings to settle scores and everything else. They were the ones that were the prostitutes.
They're pawns, yeah. And so they are strategically traded amongst these royal families to form alliances and perpetuate the king's bloodline.
Yeah.
And once they've done this, then they're no longer of use and they get bumped off the next one.
That's why Disney right. never shows you the next phase after.
Right, and this is why there's so much pressure on girls to be a virgin and wear a white wedding dress. All this comes from royalty ensuring that their bloodline is going to continue on it and no one else's children are going to inherit this throne. Right?
Right.
So I don't think that if you really loved your daughters, you would not call her a princess, because this is a degrading term. This is a legal royal prostitution term. We're going to get even more into princess stuff, but just on the surface, it's a terrible nickname for a girl.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So, because in America, princess programming breeds narcissism.
Absolutely.
Right? And entitlement and sociopaths who must have their way no matter what the cost to other people, because there can only be one princess at a time.
Oh my God, I've seen Sweet 16.
Yeah, Sweet 16. So what happens when you make it to the top in American society? And I found this really good write-up on a book that's called Primates of Park Avenue. This is a new book coming out about a woman who moved to the Upper East Side of New York City, and which is apparently its own kind of culture apart from the rest of the city. It's even more elite, right? The Upper East Side.
Right.
And she says in her book, no one was fat, no one was ugly, no one was poor, everyone was drinking.
Right.
That's a quote. And probably popping pills, too.
Sure.
Right? Pharmaceuticals, up the yin-yang, everything.
Yeah.
And she says that it's a game among a certain set to incite the envy of other women.
Right.
So this is a big issue, a women's issue that I want to go into here. So one facet of the problem is that there is no solidarity and sisterhood anymore, because we're all pit against each other as rivals in the world, as princesses for the prince.
Right. Right?
And this is really, really different from how I grew up. And in my family, my mom had three sisters plus my grandma. And when they got together, it was time to play beauty parlor.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they had the full-on space-age hair dryer that came down over your head and the hot rollers and the whole shebang. But I miss this way of beautifying because, you know, they would dress each other. And how can you be jealous of someone when you help them become beautiful?
It was your artistic creation.
Exactly. Does the artist get mad at its canvas for being beautiful? I don't think so. So this kind of brings the bond together when we're all beautifying each other instead of ourselves as...
Competition.
Competition. Thank you. So the lady who lived on the Upper East Side, she actually needed this certain kind of purse. A Birkin bag by Hermes.
Right.
It's spelled Hermes, but it's like Hermes, the god of magician.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't to fit in because it was some kind of like defense mechanism. Like she had to have this bag as a shield, a badge that she belonged in this culture.
Huh.
But the thing about the bag was that they're incredibly hard to get because of intentional scarcity. So, you know, Hermes can produce as many Birkin bags as, you know, their heart desires, but they don't intentionally, because it's a sign of
exclusivity, yeah, elitism.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
And so they can drive the price. The price doesn't even matter anymore because people will pay whatever it costs
to have the symbol.
But they can't get it, and so that's why they want it.
Right.
Right? Crazy, crazy, crazy rich people creating scarcity.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah. Creating scarcity for sure. And we deserve to be millionaires, Jamie. Seriously, because, you know, I would love to see people with money that know what to do with it or will help with it. Or
everybody deserves to live in complete abundance. And so I'm not knocking rich people for having abundance in things in life and experience and love, but it's just the way they go about it that crushes everyone else on the way to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And it's this programming of narcissism that you're saying that really breeds up out of this princess programming and leads to the entitlement.
Right. And so let's go on to a little bit about feminism.
Yeah.
Because whenever I think of the word feminist, this image pops in my mind from culture media. And that is a big part of it because we're getting this mean world syndrome, right?
Yeah.
We are looking at the culture media and thinking that reflects us, which it absolutely does not.
It does not.
But whenever I think of a word feminist, I think of like an angry, topless woman who hates men.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And here again, just like Christianity, the zealous converts are spoiling the namesake because a feminist is just someone who agrees that women should be treated equal to men, equal pay, whatever. Right?
Right.
But do I think it should be legal to go topless for a woman?
Yeah.
I think across the board that women should be allowed to dress however they like and however the weather permits.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you shouldn't be forced to wear a black sheet in Saudi Arabia, where it's freaking stifling hot.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be forced into dressing provocatively to feel beautiful.
Right.
and sitting there freezing on the street corner in Philadelphia in your high heels and your shirt dress.
Right.
And Goosebumps is not an accessory, girls. I'm sorry. It is just, you know, I think it's up to the individual woman. And I think that, you know, society. Okay, let's go on.
Right. Okay. And to be honest, I would not feel comfortable topless in a restaurant.
Right. But the point is, all women want to feel beautiful and desired. Right?
Right.
But why is the feminist movement so focused on public sexuality when there are actually real inequality issues? So whenever a feminist comes out, it's always about, I want to be as sexy as men. You know, I want to say suck my dick too.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. So I want to be as crass as men.
Right. Huh. But there are serious, like, women's problems going on in the world. One being, you know, I hate to bring it up, but let's go on. Genital mutilation.
Oh, man. Okay. Book of Mormon.
So this is a serious problem. And this happens in 29 countries where it's almost about 100% the legal practice is to circumcise. And this is a Muslim practice, I guess. It's a very strict.
It's a very weird practice.
I mean, am I the only one who thinks humans should be able to roam around freely with their genitals intact?
Well, you're not royalty, baby.
No, but I mean, even men have to go through the circumcision trauma, right? And we watched that whole thing with Janice Barcella at Free Your Mind. Two people were crying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Everyone had to relive their circumcision trauma.
It's true.
And so I feel like this feminist sexual revolution is actually taking a sort of power away from women. Because I feel like we, as women, have to make some tough decisions, okay? So if you want to go topless, but you don't want men to see you in a sexual way, so that's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be sexually harassed, but you want to be naked.
It's like the punk rocker saying, mm-hmm. What are you looking at? Why okay. Your green hair?
But, so I'm sorry about this, but it is a biological reaction
mm-hmm.
for men. And you'd better be grateful for that. Because nowadays, a lot of girls are so annoying, I doubt they could talk a guy into an erection if they wanted to.
Showing.
So, I mean, I feel like this is the first step to the hermaphroditic robotic society. Doing away with the whole
gender
balance of men and women, right? Yeah. The two polarities. And big part of women's powerhouse is her sexuality. And so why give it away so freely, right? And so, because the first rule of magic is the mystery. And right. Even Anton LaVey knows that a little modesty goes a long way in what he calls lust power.
That's very true.
Because guys always want to see what they haven't seen.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the goddess, not the princess, right? The goddess, the empress, the high priestess, she's always hidden behind many veils.
Right.
So that only the very worthy are allowed to see her bare, right?
Right.
And so this is more of something that we can emulate instead of being, like, hot or a princess or a consumer whore or whatever. Let's try and shift the focus more towards Earth Goddess and having your power and keeping it for yourself and not giving it away to men. Right? Because, I mean, your body is a temple, not a motel. You can't just let people come and go as they please.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so feminists, they want to be free to go nude, but they don't want sexual harassment.
Right.
Okay, so meanwhile, they're trying to make it illegal to breastfeed in public.
Yeah.
So there's all of these, what do you call it?
Schisms,
mixed messages,
yeah.
You know, being sent out to what's okay in what culture and what's not. So men can't sit with their legs open on the New York subway anymore.
Right.
And women can't breastfeed in public.
Yeah.
But Rihanna can show up to an award show in a sheer dress with her nipples showing and it's all on front page news.
Right.
So they are always trying to squeeze out the motherhood aspect of femininity mm-hmm. and the nurturing aspect and the power of the earth. In women and just always trying to funnel it into her
appearance, really.
Her sexuality and also the boundary between like virgin and slut. Right?
Yeah.
So
right.
That's where all the attention is always going.
Britney Spears, classic example.
Yeah. So and then did you see that the YouTube of the girl who's walking in New York City and getting all these catcalls.
Mm-hmm.
And she really hates it.
Yeah. Yeah. All the men giving her compliments along the way.
So, in society, I feel like we have to bring back the classiness of womanhood so we can get our flirt on without feeling threatened.
Yes.
Right? Because women want to get dressed up and walk down the street and be looked at.
Well, it's so important for the soul. It really is. And innocent flirtation is a key ingredient to good health and to, you know, living properly. It,
right.
It matters.
I mean, like if you go to a city such as Rome.
Uh-huh.
And you see everyone walking around and all the ladies are dressed up to the nines and the guys are telling them, hey, you look nice.
Right.
They do that for that very reason.
Right.
Right? If no one gave them a catcall, they'd be disappointed when they get home and say, what did I do wrong?
Yeah. Yet in New York, the feeling is different. The sentiment is complete opposite.
Right. Because she's not inviting that kind of behavior with how she's dressed. She's just wearing a t-shirt and jeans.
Right.
Right. She's not out to impress. She's just walking down the street, and that's why she feels threatened.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So, kind of in conclusion to this part of the show, I just want to talk a little about birds and bees.
All right.
Okay. And back to nature, because this polarity is what keeps the planet going, right?
Yes,
everything. I mean, the entire symphony in nature is everything trying to find a mate and get laid. All the sounds, the crickets, the frogs, everything you hear is just the entire world trying to mate.
Right.
And find, you know, that love and create another part of them.
Yes.
And a really cute animal that I saw recently was the damselfly. And so this little fly, she's born, she has to find a mate, lay her eggs all in one day.
That's her lifespan.
Yeah, her lifespan is one day, and she has to do all this and avoid getting eaten by frogs and drowning in the pond.
Right.
Right. But this is the beautiful balance of nature that can be, you know, a dance instead of a rape. It can be...
Well, I think of those lovely birds that lay out the flowers and the different scents for to attract their other bird with all the right colors. And what right. kind of bird was that?
That was the bowerbird. So that little bird takes 2 years to build his nest, and each little bird has a favorite color, and he goes and collects everything that he likes in that color.
I mean, shiny beetles.
Yeah, flowers, mosses, funguses. Anything he can find, and he spends 2 years to build a nest for this girl, and she gets there, and the act is over in 2.2 seconds. I mean, yeah.
It's like, did that really happen?
Yeah, it was so fast, but it kept life going, and it was a beautiful, representation of how male and female energy can come together and make a beautiful creation.
Right.
So, and, you know, I just want this dance between boys and girls to be a classy dance, you know, not a trashy booty dance.
Yeah.
And there must be balance. And I love all my sisters and I miss you, and let's keep it classy.
Yeah. And there's a sense of sovereignty that comes from classy. And there is a sense of slavedom that comes from slutty. And... You know, women want to feel, and men too need to feel the same empowerment. And innocent flirtation is something that keeps the world going around. It will make your heart flutter and make you feel good. It'll raise goosebumps on your skin, and it could generate a whole new world. Because the other issue that we're dealing with, the male-female situation, with the sexual barrier that's being formed through the media manipulation, is the idea of touching one another. And in humanity, we need this so much. We need to hug one another. We need to rub one another. And it has to be in innocence. In France, they can run around with their tops off, and they will not see this type of reaction you will see from the dude bros of America. You know, it's become common because it's normal to their culture. But we're set in a situation where man and woman can rarely share affection for one another innocently without sex being brought into the picture and putting up a schism, putting up an energy wall between these two beings so that they cannot heal one another. And it really is one of the critical situations that we're dealing with, because we are all under trauma-based mind control. And the solution to this is hugs, is nurturing, is taking care of one another, of feeling secure. And with this sexual barrier being placed between men and women's energy, we cannot find that innocent healing necessary to save the planet.
Well said. And I hope you guys all tune in for part two, where we keep on talking about girls' issues. We're going to talk about health and beauty and body issues, 50 Shades of Grey. We got Bruce Jenner, and who is the most disturbing villain in cartoon history?
Nice. All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you know this was a little bit of a short show, and maybe we'll be tuning back in a second. And thank you all for subscribing and keeping us going. Your donations and picking up copies of Weird Stuff are really helping us get up. But we are definitely impecunious. Impecunious? You taught me that word.
I don't know if that's the right word.
Did I get it wrong? Impecunious. Yeah. Yeah, look it up. We'll see if we've got it right. So it is our lives goals here at the Free Zone to help inspire you and everyone to come together in friendship, to come together in innocent bondings, to nurture one another back to health, and so that we can transform this world away from the New World Order and this hideous royalty programming. So you should start to think princess is a bad word and realize the narcissism that it breeds. Realize that we need to raise up goddesses, and we need to give the sovereignty necessary to give the strength of companionship between the male and female energies so that people feel secure in themselves. And this is done, as Jamie is saying, in a classy way. And it really does change your attitude and change the way you feel about yourself and change the way you will treat people around you. So beautify yourself, raise up your own spirits, and enjoy the many compliments that you pick up along the way, because that is what it's all about. And we will see you all on the other side.
Chambers underground. What in the world is going down? Weird stuff, can't get enough. Weird stuff, weird stuff, can't get enough. Weird stuff. Tell me the truth, I can handle it. Don't wanna believe a lie. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. Gotta know the reasons why. There's weird stuff, can't get enough. Weird stuff.